So, the rest of us, let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1 as we continue on in our study. We've seen the Lord do great, marvelous things in the life of Hannah. We've visited many people throughout the Scriptures. We've been going through the Scriptures. We've seen faith being built up in a lot of the, what we call the fathers of the faithful. We've seen it in Abraham. We've seen it in Isaac and Jacob and all of the patriarchs and Moses and Joshua. As we've been going through the Bible there, we see how the Lord has his way with the folks that are in there. The things that they're talking about. And as it is, they're written there for our learning. To show us what walking by faith looks like. Now, let's pray first. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we're able to gather and to open up your word and to hear from your Spirit. We do pray, Lord, that your Spirit would be poured out upon all of your people. And Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts as we go through your word. And Lord, as we just pick apart the lessons that you have here for us, and there are many, if we'll just take the time. So open up our hearts, open up our minds, Lord. And Lord, that you would indwell us and show us what it is that you have for your people today. Lord, we just anticipate you speaking to us and Lord, giving us that life-changing message that only you can provide. So Father, have your way with us. Lord, as we open ourselves to you, and Lord, that we just, as we've worshiped you in song, let us worship you now as we sit attentively and hear your voice. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as we have seen in the book of Ruth, God arranged the lives of a Jewish family to get a girl named Ruth from Moab to Israel. And we saw that whole thing play out there, and, you know, only God could do it the way God did it. You know, I mean, it was just so amazing that he works from the inside on folks. You know, he'll create circumstances, but he guides us on the inside as we go through the things in our lives, the risings up, the praise and the worship that we give him, all the way down to our failures. He has a plan and a purpose in all of those things to show us just how weak we are, perhaps, or perhaps how much we need to depend more on him and less upon ourselves. We think that we can do things it's not for us really to do. We've given ourselves over as believers in Jesus Christ. We've given ourselves over to his leading and to his guidance. And sometimes we feel that, hey, you know what, I know better, and I'm going to do it this way, and this is the path that I'm going to take, and this and that and the other things, without consulting the one who has bought us with such a great price, who loves us more than we even love ourselves, and yet we kind of put him on the back burner there, you know. If we could just wake up in the morning with that thought, oh, the Lord loves me more than I love myself, let me trust in him today. No matter what it is that he's leading me to do, let me trust in him. Maybe it doesn't make sense to my little puddin' head, but he knows. He's got the whole thing worked out, and I just need to follow in his footsteps. William Cowper once wrote in a poem, "God moves in a mysterious way." Now, we've heard all kinds of variations on that, but this is the guy who originally wrote it. It was a poem that he wrote, and that's the first line. In fact, that's what the poem is called. God moves in a mysterious way. In Romans 11:33, it says, "Oh, the depth and of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God." Stop there for a second. Wow. If we only knew the depth and the wisdom of God, we would just totally trust in him, but sometimes we don't. "How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." We don't know what the Lord is doing. I'm sure Hannah didn't know what the Lord was doing. You know, she was going through some pretty rough times, but it was all a part of God's plan. So we see that God moved on the heart of Hannah to work out his plan for her son. It wasn't even about her so much as it was the son that she was going to have. But he needed to condition Hannah. He needed to bring her to a place where she was totally trusting in him. And so that's how God works with us. He moves us in ways that, you know, we really don't understand until we get on board with it. You remember how, you know, in the first part of this chapter, how Hannah was all full of bitterness. She was under the gun. She was under the gun probably from her family. Hey, what's wrong with you? How come you're not having any children? As if it was her fault. You know, but people seem to just to blame the person that's involved in that. Little did they know that it was God that shut up her womb. It was God that was doing this for a purpose, to get a hold of Hannah's heart. But that doesn't mean the attacks didn't start coming, especially from the other wife. Now, we went through that last week, and I got no more jokes for that one. But, you know, having that other wife there, you know, she was kind of getting down on her and making her feel bad. And, you know, and why? Who knows why? You know, only God knows why somebody would make somebody else feel bad when they're so rich in children. She had sons, she had daughters, and yet she felt compelled to get down on Hannah. Now, Hannah, as we read in there, was full of bitterness. She was full of bitterness because the Lord had done this thing. In the Old Testament, it says that that the Lord is going to bless you if by having children. He said that right from the beginning. You know, you will be saved by childbearing, he told Eve. And it was a blessing to have children. The Lord never said it was a curse not to have children. But we inferred that. Well, if it's a blessing to have children, then it must be a curse. But it doesn't necessarily follow in that respect. So, after years of trying to put, you know, of crying out to God for a son, the Lord brought her to the place where he wanted her. And this, my friends, was years. Remember, we heard year after year after year these things went on. How long? Well, until finally Hannah got with the program. God got with God's program. Now, he didn't tell Hannah anything. But he moved on her heart and brought her to the place where he wanted her to be, which he knew he would. 1 Samuel 4, chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, "And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there would no razor come upon his head." And we saw that he was a Nazarite from his mother's womb, just like Samson was. The one of the two in the scriptures that were Nazarites from birth. To be a Nazarite was usually a voluntary thing. But notice, it was a vow. It was a vow. And you know how it is when you're in trouble or something like that. Oh, Lord, I promise that I'll do X, Y, and Z if you'll just get me out of this mess. And then once we're out of that mess, we forget about what we had vowed the Lord to do. But Hannah was of such character that they went up to worship yearly. And he could trust, he trusted that she would complete her vow, unlike a lot of us. So we see that in the fact that she was barren, plus the reproach, plus the taunts, that he brought her to a place of yielding to the will of God. Although she wasn't aware that this was what God wanted, but it worked out that way. Because of the results of the situation, we realize we can look back with 20/20 hindsight and say, oh yeah, the Lord did all of that. I didn't even realize it, but the Lord was doing all that. Now, faith is when we give praise to God, even though we can't see what the end results are going to be. He calls us, and we can trust him because we have received Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are one of his, and we have allowed the Lord to move in our lives. But so often we're the victims of bad teaching. Sometimes we have heard teachers that says, you know what, if you follow after the Lord, if you'll just accept Jesus Christ, then you'll be in health all the time. You'll be wealthy. The Lord just going to lavish things on you, all kinds of physical things, so that you'll know that you are a child of God. And that's bad teaching, especially when you look in the scriptures. How many of those receive such blessings such as that? Usually they were wanderers and vagabonds. They lived in the desert. They lived in caves, and they were looked down upon. And we're talking about the prophets that the Lord would send, and they suffered such persecution. God asks us many times every day, "Do you trust me? Do you trust me? And if we say yes, if we say to the affirmative, yes, Lord, I trust you, then give him praise if you do trust him. But if it's in the reverse, if you're not so sure about what's going on, then you're not going to praise. See, you're going to praise him in every step of your situation. A lesson that we all need to learn time and time again. In Micah 6:8, he tells us that what the Lord requires of us. He says to walk humbly with our God. 1 Peter 5:5, it says, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So how should we live our lives? Humbly serving the Lord. Whatever the Lord requires of us to do at the moment is what we do, and we give thanks and praise for allowing him to use us in a particular situation. If we're walking in the Spirit, we will be attentive to the voice of the Lord. We will always be looking for the voice of the Lord, listening to that still small voice. Galatians 5:25, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So after Hannah got a word from the Lord through Eli the high priest, you remember in 1 Samuel 1:17, then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the Lord God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked him. So she was overjoyed. She got the word from the Lord through Eli that the Lord was going to grant her request. And what happened? She went out and she worshiped the Lord. So let's pick it up in verse 19. And it says, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord. This is a common thread throughout all of the scriptures, as you see. When the call came to Abraham, he got up early in the morning and got ready and took off to fulfill what the Lord had called him to do. So as soon as you know what the Lord wants you to do, boom, you should be on it. You know, no hesitation, you know, no laying of fleeces or anything like that, because you know that the Lord is within you and that he's called you to do a particular thing. He never calls us. In the scriptures, there's not one single verse in the Bible that says we need to understand what the Lord is, what's doing in our lives. We just need to obey. See, that's the earmarks of walking by faith. The Lord says it, we just do it. We don't have to understand it. You don't have to explain it to me. And we find many times in the scripture the Lord doesn't explain it. He just says, do it. One way or to another. Maybe it's not in a voice. Perhaps he's moving you in a particular direction. And so they worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Now Samuel means his name is El. So she had given him to the Lord, and basically, you know, I asked him of the Lord, and so it was Samuel. But in essence, she's saying, Lord, you name him. You give him a name. You give him a name of what it is that you've called him to do. And he did. He called him prophet. He also called him priest. So that's an interesting kind of a thing for us, you know, when we think about that. You know, what does the Lord call us? Well, in the book of the Revelation, it says that in chapter 5, it says, you have made us kings and priests. So we have a dual nature to do. You know, we're kings in that we will rule and reign with the Lord, but we're also priests, whereas we go before the Lord. That's one of the jobs of the high priest, was to offer prayers for the nation of Israel. And that's what we do as priests. We offer prayers to our family, their church family, all of those around us. We go before the Lord for that person. So at the right time, according to the promise of God, he remembered Hannah. All on God's timing, you see. It wasn't Hannah's timing. It was God's timing. He brought her to that place. Okay, now we're going to continue on from there. Because there's a real heavy-duty thing that's going to happen a little later. And he fulfilled what he had promised through the words of Eli. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, and he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work of God maketh from the beginning to the end. So we can't understand what God is doing. You know, he's got, you know, so many layers of things that he's trying to accomplish. Well, not trying, but that he's going to accomplish that, you know, we can't search it all out. You know, we go through the scriptures and we can get that surface. We can get that application, how it applies to our lives. And then we can maybe get underneath another layer and we can look at the prophetic viewpoint of it, what the Lord's trying to tell us. But he's got umpteen thousand different layers in this, in his word, that, you know, he's going to fulfill all those things. And it's going to take us standing before the Lord so that we would be able to understand it, because he's working in ways that we have no idea about. Everything is good. Everything is perfect in his time. And in verse 21, and the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. Now this speaks a lot about Elkanah and his great love for Hannah. She told him about the vow that she had made to the Lord. Now, as Hannah's husband, he could have negated that vow. Numbers 30 verse 8 tells us that if a woman that's married make a vow, her husband can disannul that vow unless he's on board with it. And Elkanah was on board with it. He says, yeah, okay, you made this vow. I love you. I'm going to honor that vow. So we see that he took that vow onto himself and went and paid that vow for her in the respect of a sacrifice. In verse 22, but Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, and that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. So she wanted that time with her son, okay? She said, okay, wait, not until he's weaned. Now, and well, we'll get to that in a minute here. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. Now, the key into that is that the Lord establish his word. So now the time, you know, to wean a child varies from culture to culture, from person to person. There is no real set time for how long, you know, to, you know, actually breastfeed a child. The Leachy League, which is a breastfeeding advocate, says from about 6 months to 2 years or even longer. Now, my wife asked her about this, and she said some women have breastfed their child up to 5 years and maybe even longer. Who knows? You know, you see all kinds of different stories on there. And so, you know, it's kind of like, you know, how long did, Samuel breastfeed? Unknown. But the trick is here, she wanted him to be old enough to receive the word of God, so she would know how, he would know how to act. So she fed him the word of God, day by day, moment by moment. The same way that Moses was also fed the word of God about who he was and what the Lord has done and his heritage and all of these other things, so that when he went back to Pharaoh's court, he had this already in his mind. And when he was about 40 years old, he come to realize that, hey, I'm going to go out and take a look at what's going on with my people. In verse 24, he says, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. So, you know, the three bullocks was probably for the sin offering, the burnt offering, as well as a special offering for the Nazarite vow. Now, the word translated child here could mean a boy from anywhere from infancy to adolescence. So there's a wide range of how old this child may have been. So it may be that Hannah waited until the child was old enough to be taught the word. Proverbs 22:6 tells us, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So, spoiler alert, cover your ears if you don't want to hear the ending. Samuel never wavered from what the Lord had called him to do, all the way up until the end. In verse 25, and they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I have asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. So this word lent here is, kind of gives the connotation that there was an ending, but she kind of clarified it and says, all the days of his life, I'm going to give. So, but the word translated there was lent rather than I'm giving him unto the Lord. So after Hannah confirmed to Eli that the child was a fulfillment of the word he had spoken unto her, they were compelled, she was there to complete that vow. And that, that the Lord would be pleased because she had made that vow and she was now completing it. So, Eli now was going to bring this child up in the ways of the Lord. It's interesting how worship is a repeated characteristic of this family. Even in difficult situations, the family went up yearly to worship the Lord. So, praising God on the day you give your son away may not be easy, but it is praise God is pleased with. It was a hard decision for, Hannah. If you think about it, here I've got this son finally and I'm going to hang on to him until he's weaned. And then that day comes. You can kind of almost think, wow, what a depression she could have gotten into. But you see, she saw the plan of God. She was aware of that. And that's going to be relevant. It's going to be very clear to us. In the next chapter as we look at the prayer of Hannah. So, Hebrews 13:15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name for all of the things that he does. Big, small, little, it doesn't matter. Let's give praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord. Now, in 2 Samuel... this is the prayer that Hannah offered on the day she left her little boy at the tabernacle. So Hannah now is expressing her joy at being used of the Lord for this purpose. In verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1, he says, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord, my God. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. Now, I want you to notice here the articulation that comes from Hannah here. It's not of herself. It's something that the Holy Spirit gave her words for. Because she's going to utter some things that is totally outside any kind of a preview that she would have had. Any purview that she might have had, it can't be listed in here. So let's hear what she has to say in her prayer. Now, because Hannah, in verse chapter 1, called out to the Lord of hosts, if you remember. She cried out to the Lord of hosts, which is the God of the armies of Israel. There was a battle that needed to be fought. There was a battle that needed to be won, and she couldn't do it. She knew she couldn't do it, so she called out to the God of hosts, the Lord of hosts. And it was the Lord that fought the battle and got the victory. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 29 and 30, it says, then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4, it says, for the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Now this can apply to any believer in Jesus Christ. The Lord's going before us. He's leading us. You see, you can't lead somebody if you're in your rears. You can't just point and say, go. No, the Lord goes before you and he says, I'm going to clear the path for you. I'm going to plow the road. I'm going to make sure that the path is straight for your feet. Now, it's commanded in scriptures not to seek vengeance for the wrongs done unto you, which is our natural, frame. Somebody does something wrong to us, somebody cuts us off on the freeway, we need to zip around them and give them a brake check or two or three, just to get back at them. Say, hey, you can't do that to me because you're going to be suffering consequences for it. But the Lord says, just let it go. He says, to me belongeth vengeance, Deuteronomy 32:35, and recompense, their foot shall slide in due time. You didn't see it now, but in due time it will happen. For the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. So, we need to have that forgiving heart. The Lord time and time tells us, forgive your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Those things that happen, that should be our heart. That should be the first thing that we think about. Okay, forgiving. Okay, you did that, fine, cool, whatever. You know, I'll pray for you, you know, because your end is coming. I'll pray that the Lord opens up your heart so that you might receive Jesus Christ. Now, we don't know what's going on in there. There's a lot of crazy people on the road today. There's no need to get involved in a lot of those folks because you hear about road rage all the time, you know. And there, but for the grace of God, go I. Because I've been in those situations. I'm sure each and every one of us have. You know, where, man, if I had, you know, then I would, you know, whatever it would, you know, you just kind of say, man, I'm glad I don't, because I would have, and then, man, I'd really muck things up, you know. So, praise God that He's given us a heart to forgive. And just like anything else, we need to exercise that. So if we pray, Lord, you know, let me conquer this rage that's within me. You know what's going to happen? You're going to be faced with situations that's going to cause you to rage. And then the Lord's going to give you the ability to say, no, I'm not going to rage. I'm going to pray. I'm going to bless God for working in my life. That was you, Lord. I know that. I know that you brought that person in there because I prayed that this rage be taken away. And the only way to know that it's done is that if situations arise that want you to do that. Now, one other thing I like about this, I like the thought of her mouth is enlarged. You know, when we're downcast and when we're sad, our mouths are small. You know, it's just kind of, you know, things are going on. But when we're happy and rejoicing, what happens? We get this big old smile. Oh, yeah, praise God. And our mouth is enlarged. That was going on with Hannah. She was just overjoyed that the Lord had fulfilled what it is that she wanted. Now, evidently, Mary was familiar with the prayer of Hannah, because the rejoicing of Mary when she came to her cousin Elizabeth was about the same thing. She rejoiced in the Lord, Luke 1, verses 46 through 48. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. So she must have been reading 1 Samuel at one point in time, so because she knew the pattern, you see. In verse 2, and there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Now, something we need to consider, and I know that I've said this on several occasions, but we need to consider that doing the right thing isn't enough. You can do the right thing for the wrong reasons. You know, it's your attitude that counts. You can be coerced into doing things, and it's not going to mean a hook, nothing. It doesn't matter if you're doing it in the church or this or that and the other. If the Lord has not put it on your heart to do, then don't do it. Don't allow yourself to be coerced. Don't allow yourself to be guilted into doing things. We probably grew up with, you know, parents that would try to guilt us into doing things. I do so much, and all I did was ask you to take the trash out. You know, that's a guilt kind of a thing. If you'd have just done it in the first place, you would never have had to. But that's another time. It's our motivation. What motivates you to do the things that you're doing? You go to work, you make money so that you don't have to live in the street, presumably. You got a house, you got food, and all of the things that you need to take care of your family. The motivation is there. But are you doing it because the Lord wants you to be that example to your neighbors? I go to work every day, come home, and my kids are fed, they're well behaved. You know, we're not naked, but, you know, we may not wear the finest of clothes, but we, you know, we're not naked either. So, you know, I think we're doing a good job. We're told that one day the secrets of our hearts are going to be judged. They're going to be weighed. God knows why you have done a certain thing. That's called the Bema Seat of Christ. We're going to be judged for the things done in this body. Not for sin. That's already been dealt with at the cross. But we're going to be judged for reward's sake. There's going to be things that we've done because the Lord has bid us to do those things, and we'll be rewarded for those things. Can you imagine? We get salvation, we get sanctification, we get justification, and we get rewards for doing what the Lord wants us to do anyway. It's kind of like an allowance, if you will. But we're allowed to have rewards on that. So you can't go wrong. You know, the Lord's just, he's just too good. Verse 4, the bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that are full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that are hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set him among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. Now, this is heavy-duty theology for somebody that has not studied in these things. So it stands to reason to me that as she's speaking these things, the Holy Spirit is giving her utterance. He's giving her these insights into things. She probably was praying this and just praising the Lord, and these things are coming out of her mouth, and she's probably just as much in awe as the listeners were. What does that even mean? I don't even know. It came out of my mouth. The Lord was doing it. And that's what the Lord does. He gives us utterance. He gives us words to speak when the need arises. You know, the Lord tells us, don't think ahead of time what you're going to say. Don't think ahead of time. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak, and they won't be able to withstand them. It'll just be like you'll say something, and they'll just... Wow, where did this come from? You remember Peter and John, they were up in the temple in chapter 5 of the book of Acts, and they were just preaching the gospel, and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin came and took them and stood them before there, and they were just examining there and asking them questions and all of these things, and they kind of took a private counsel and says, man, these guys are just ignorant fishermen. From whence did they receive such knowledge? And it's the same thing here throughout all of the scriptures, in the Psalms and all of these other things. The Lord gave them the words to speak, and they just spoke them. They probably didn't even understand half of what it is that they were saying or its implications. But they are written there for our learning, the scripture tells us. They were written aforetime for our learning. And so as we study these things and we look at these things, we see the Lord's wisdom coming out of this woman's mouth that we know hasn't studied. I mean, women really didn't study the scriptures back then. They just, you know, they went to synagogue and they heard exactly what their husbands, but to get in there and study, to have, you know, the pillars of the foundation of the earth, the earth is set on these things. Where did that come from? You know, So this is a significant thing for us to learn. It's a prayer that shows a deep awareness of who God is. Hannah acknowledged God as holy, as one who knows and weighs human deeds. Hannah saw him as the one who satisfies the needy. He is the master of life and death and poverty and wealth. Her sense of the power and glory of God is summed up beautifully in these verses. So it's worth our study to go back and just kind of go over these things again. And in verse 10, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Oh, wait a minute. What? Now remember, we're just coming out of the book of Judges yet. Israel doesn't have a king. So what is it that she's speaking here? So Hannah spoke of this king she was prophesying about, the Messiah, who would finally set all the wrongs right. He would be the anointed one. What a tremendous reorientation for Hannah. You know, going from this despair and from this the bitterness of her soul to this rejoicing, you know, after all of that, you know, it's just kind of like it's a, you know, a 180 degree turnaround. Now, I think what we'll do, we'll just continue on a little bit. Okay. In verse 11, it says, "And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Hannah trained her son well, and he fulfilled the purpose that God had for him." So he ministered before the Lord. This is going to be, I think this, we're going to save this. We'll start here next week because it's very, it has to do a whole lot with the contrast between Samuel and Eli's sons, who were priests at that time as well. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that you have given us this morning. And we do pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, just give us the ability to praise you when things are just not going right or our frustrations are at a high point. Lord, I pray that we would just have the presence of mind to worship you and praise you in all of these things. When we make mistakes, when we sin and we fall down, let us praise you that you are willing to forgive us instantly, as you have commanded us to forgive instantly those that have wronged us. So, Lord, we praise you and we worship you this morning. And we pray, Lord, for, you know, just your Holy Spirit to fill us and Lord, just to lead us in the places where we need to go. For our journey isn't over yet. The adventure continues. And I pray, Father, that we would be up for the journey, that we would be all involved in what it is that you have for our lives and for the lives of those around. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You could please stand.